So if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll read verses 1 and 2 this morning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. The two epistles that are authored by Peter are brief, but they are packed with exhortations that I believe remain useful for Christians in any age. The series that we're going to begin this morning for my portion of these early services for the next several weeks, we're going to be presenting a series of lessons based upon the first chapter of 1 Peter. And so we're going to begin that. And to begin, we'll just simply give some basic information. Epistles are basically letters. It's just an old word for letters. And so when we look at these first couple of verses in 1 Peter, he begins this epistle in the way that was customary in the world in which he lived. And that is, he identifies himself as the writer of the epistle, and we'll say a little bit more about that in just a minute. And then he identifies the parties to whom that epistle is being sent. Now, that has basically been preserved in our culture and is our custom. Even in today, it's the traditional method, even though letter writing has almost become a lost art, except maybe in the business world where it's done to put things on record. You still have the letterhead, which identifies where the letter's coming from, and the inside address or the greeting, which is basically saying the parties to whom it is being sent. So there's nothing really unusual about that. I think that generally speaking in our Bible classes and studies, there's a tendency to just simply say this is the greeting and go on. But there's often very much good information in these greetings of the various epistles, and that's definitely true of this one. So the author is Peter. He identifies himself. And, of course, other than Jesus, Peter is probably the most prominent character in the Gospels and is the best known of the early disciples. He's also the focus of the first part, major section, of Luke's history of the early church in the book of Acts. And so what I'm suggesting here is that when you look at this letter as it was, a letter from Peter to others, he really doesn't need any more explanation of who he is than that. He just simply says, this is from Peter the Apostle. And that would have been enough identification for him in that day and in that time. Many scholars suggest that both of Peter's epistles were written from Rome prior to Peter's death during the persecution of Christians by Nero. The New Testament nowhere directly states that Peter was in Rome. Most scholars cite 1 Peter 5 and verse 13, where he says he's sending the letter and that those who are in Babylon greet the recipients of this letter and say that Peter is referring to Rome based upon the fact that the Apostle John uses Babylon as a figure for Rome in the Revelation. But there is no real biblical evidence that that's where Peter is when he writes this. He could have literally been in Babylon or in the area of Babylon visiting Christians. Uninspired writings written in the second century tell us that Peter was indeed executed in Rome, but there's no biblical evidence of that. There's much more definite information about the recipients of this letter, and that in of itself is interesting because Peter sends this letter to the residents of Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And these are Roman provinces. They're all located geographically in what is modern-day Turkey on the subcontinent of Asia Minor. But what's interesting about this is that these are primarily Gentile areas and that they are, according to the book of Acts, areas that were initially evangelized by the Apostle Paul. And so what we have here is an overlapping of the apostolic ministries of Paul and Peter, because Peter is definitely writing to place Christians in places that were originally evangelized by the Apostle Paul. Furthermore, there is an additional overlap in the book because at the end of the book, in the 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter identifies Silvanus. Possibly he's either the one who actually wrote the letter out for Peter, just as Paul used the Manuensis to write his letters, or maybe he is the one delivering it. But Silvanus is Silas. And we best know Silas for traveling with Paul on the second and third missionary journeys. And also in 1 Peter 5, 12 and 13, Peter mentions Mark, that Mark is with him. And Mark was, we know Mark's story, that early on he disappointed Paul, but Paul later says how useful he is to him. And so these two people that were very closely connected to the ministry of Paul are also connected to Peter's ministry as he writes 1 Peter for us. And so with that background, really the main part of that I want to talk about in the few minutes that we have here is that he uses three terms to identify these people. The Christians that are in this area to whom he is writing this letter. The first term that he uses is the term alien. And so in our modern use of the word, if somebody talks about an alien today, we think they're literally talking about some strange-looking little creature that comes from some other galaxy. But the basic meaning of that word in the Greek is a person who for a period of time lives in a place which is not their normal home, their normal residence. Thus, simply, they are an alien, they are a stranger, they are a temporary resident. Now, there's two possibilities about what Peter means by the use of this term. One is that he is using the word literally and is sending the letter to those Christians who are physically aliens. That is, there are a group of scholars who think he's writing only to Jews, and so these would be Jews who are no longer in Palestine but are living in these provinces as foreigners. I don't think that's the likely use of the term, although you will see that referred to a lot in commentaries and things like that. I think the more logical use of the term is that he's using it figuratively of Christians who are aliens in the sense that they are living as strangers in a world that is hostile to them. And one of the reasons to take that approach is the whole book of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And in this series, we're only going to focus on the first chapter in this series. But throughout Peter's writings, one of his focuses is that Christians are going to suffer in this world because the world does not appreciate them, does not like them. And so I think the symbolic use of the word alien is the more likely of the two. So Christians today, and that's what makes this book so valuable for us, Christians today also meet this definition. And Peter's words are as applicable and appropriate for us as they were for his original recipients. There are two applications for us. One, aliens are not always treated well by the people amongst whom they live. And I don't think we need too much to illustrate that. Think about the border crisis in our current political situation. And the number of people that attribute to the aliens that are coming across the border all of the various problems that we have in our society. Well, that was true of Christians in the first century. At one time, Nero tried to expel all the Christians out of Rome, as well as all the Jews. And so we can be spiritual aliens today, and we should expect a similar treatment. This is what Peter goes on to tell these people that he calls aliens. In 1 Peter 4, verse 3, he says, "For the time is already past, it's sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." So here he describes the nature of that world in which Christians are aliens. And he goes on to say, in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. And so you're aliens because the world does not appreciate the way you live, because the way you live is in stark contrast to the way that the world lives. And so Christians have to develop this mentality. That's the second point. That we are just visiting here. As the familiar song says, and I didn't realize that this song was originally, it was written by a country music star whose life really isn't very Christian-like, but it's become a pretty standard hymn. "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Peter speaking to people who would understand that sympathy. So the second word that he uses is the word scattered. And this is from the Greek word diaspora. And this is what leads some of the scholars to say Peter's only writing this to Jews who have become Christians, because that word diaspora was originally used to describe Israelites who were scattered among the Gentile nations as a result of the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivities. And so some seize upon that original use of the word and say, well, that's who Peter is writing to here, is Jews that are dispersed throughout the Roman Empire. However, when we look at the things that Peter is saying, they are applicable to all Christians, whether they have a Jewish background or are indeed Gentile. And most of the converts in the areas in which he mentions he's sending this letter are Gentiles. And so I believe that the use of the word scattered or diaspora is a more spiritual use. Again, I think it is based upon what we find in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, where we're introduced to Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, it's the application of the message is Saul, Acts 8 and verse 1, is in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judah and Samaria, except the apostles. And so the church began the evangelism and the expansion with this scattering. And if you scatter something, when you scatter something, that which is scattered is of less volume or amount than that in which it is scattered. So, like if you are planting seed in the springtime and you scatter seed, the seed falls surrounded by the soil. And so I believe that this use of the term scattered is again to describe the fact that these Christians who are aliens are scattered among all other kinds of people, if you will. Then the third and final term that Peter uses is chosen. So they're aliens who have been scattered, and they are God's chosen people. This is from the Greek word eklektos, from which we get the word elect. And the basic idea of this is these are the ones who are chosen. The word elektos means to choose. And so the elect are the chosen ones. And they're chosen by God. And Peter goes on in 1 Peter chapter 2 to affirm this in his description. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The church as a group is now God's chosen people, a people that exists in a world that is hostile to them. And individual Christians are chosen by God because they are chosen through their acceptance of the gospel. And Peter will talk about that later in his epistle. So what we see at this point, and my time is up, and I will make this promise to you. Next week I'm going to finish this on the introduction, but I am not going to, in this series, cover this one verse at a time. So the series is not going to take that long. But I think this introduction is so important for the rest of the book, for the rest of the first chapter. So we're going to stop there, and we'll look at the rest of this next week that actually talks about the description that Peter gives to us of the chosen one and their relationship with their God. Now, let's see. Well, Brother Rose is on for the dismissal prayer, and he is not here, so let's bow.